of porn. With every lesson, we'll grow and thrive. In grace and love, we come alive. Yeah. Insight, knowledge, wisdom too. Discovering the truth that's meant for you. Join the journey, let your spirit soar. That profound truth, there's so much more. Embrace the journey. Come and see. Together in faith, we'll set our spirits free.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on tonight's Bible study, The Financial Planning Process. My name is Isaac Rivera, and we'll be joined today by a group of experts in the financial planning according to the Bible. We have Awilda, Brother Julius, and Marisol. But first, I want to introduce Rachel now.
Hello, hello. Yes, I am here. It was muted. I'm sorry about that. Hi, everybody. Today is it's going to be a phenomenal episode. I'm so excited. We have a panel of experts, like Isaac mentioned, financial experts. We're going to talk about money tonight. So, you know, get ready. We are going to gain knowledge on how to invest in our future. And before we do that, before we dive in, we're going to pray. So I'm going to open up in prayer. Please, you know, bow your heads and join me. Father God, we thank you, my God, for this moment that you have permitted us to have, my God, another day, another opportunity to just walk in your way. And walk the way and according to your plans. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to spread the gospel, to bring awareness to all those who are tuning in to this podcast. Lord Jesus, I ask, my God, that you just allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and that everything that comes out of us, my God, may be of edification to those who are tuning into this podcast. Father God, anoint each and every person in this panel and that just allow us to be able to teach and pour into others and so that they can become not only better Christians, but better people in society. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 So, Brother Julius, we will be starting today with our current financial situation. And I would like you to guide us here on this first topic that we will be assessing, how to assess what is our current financial situation. So, Brother Julius, the microphones are yours.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it, Isaac, and thank you for that prayer, Raquel, and great to be here tonight. Thank you for having me on tonight as one of your guests, and I certainly appreciate it. So, you know, we talk about determining your current financial situation. Step one, one of the first steps in financial planning process is determining your, you know, determine your financial situation. So this means we need to know what you got coming in, what you got going out, right? What's your income? What's your expenses? You know, what are your assets? What are your debts? You know, we sit with individuals for counseling in our capacity, and sometimes there's just no awareness, no real reality or an awareness of what they have, right? And sometimes wanting them to, you know, list their expenses or list their debts, it's all over the place, right? And just no true awareness. And so when you got to, you know your income, you know your expenses, know the assets that you have, know what debts you have, right? The there's a scripture in Proverbs 27 and 23 that says, be sure to know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. So, you know, being able to give an account for everything that you do have, right? And think about it like this, you know, the first step in getting better is knowing and understanding the condition that you're in, right? The first step, if I'm gonna improve whatever the situation, whatever the scenario, I gotta know where I am today, right? If I have a goal of where I want to be in life, I have to know where I am. Where am I starting from, right? If we're gonna help you, build wealth to retire, we kind of need to know where we are today. You know, in the Bible, wealth was measured in flocks and herds,
right?
Mm-hmm. But today, well, we don't have flocks and herds. Depending on where you live in Texas, you may, but we have bank accounts, right? We have savings accounts. We got crypto, right?
That's right.
We got whatever your savings vehicles. You got property, right? Your home is part of your measuring. You know, you got your investments, whether it's your 401k or your IRAs, your cash value life insurance, wherever your holding place is, right? So we have to be able to measure that. You know, if you're waiting on a miracle, you believe in God for a miracle, well, God is waiting on you to get some things in order.
That's right.
Right?
That's
you know right. What, Isaac, even Jesus, in the performing of his very first miracle, well, the first thing he did is had disciples, you know, you need to line them up.
That's right.
Y'all need, you know, something's great about to happen, but we got to get organized first.
That's right.
So he had them line up, you know, we're about to feed 5,000 men.
Perfect.
And their wives and their children. I need y'all to get in some order, get lined up, right? We need to list those bills on a paper. We need to know.
That's right.
You know, you get your hair done once a month. You got a Netflix account. You got a gym membership. You ain't been in a while. But all this stuff we got to put on paper so that we can, you know, we can have some order before, you know, we're going to come in and help you build wealth and get out of debt. And
that's right.
And we got to have some order. We got to list it first. So just some practical things as far as a first step. We got to, you know, if we're going to determine that financial situation, we have to have a listing. We have to count up exactly what we do have and where we're at. Hey, here's the reality. A lot of people, and I'll say this has been me in times past, right? It's a mess because you don't know what's coming in. You don't know what's going out.
Oh, so basically here it's what you have and what you owe. So, Brother Julius, what should someone do? How can we find out this portion? How can we manage this part?
So, I think first of all, you got to call a family meeting, right?
Interesting.
Exactly.
make sure that husband and wife are on one accord, right?
Yes.
You know, because here's the reality. You know, many times we're not operating within any kind of budget. And sometimes the husband and the wife don't know what each other's, you know, they got bank accounts that are separated. That's a whole nother podcast, all right? We got bank accounts that are separated, and we don't know what money's coming in, what's going out, right? And there's no accountability there. And so there's first of all, a coming together, right? We're praying for the household to be blessed. Well, we have to. First of all, the household's got to be on one accord, right?
That's
right. And so there's bringing it all to the table, right? Hey, babe, how much are you bringing home? What's your take home? Okay, what's your take home? That goes on the paper. Okay, what's our largest debt? You know, we got our charitable giving. We have our mortgage. All right.
Right.
We have our car payments, our insurance. So it's listing everything. And then also it's also when we're talking about building wealth, okay, well, what do you have saved? Right? What do you have saved? Where are you saving this money? I mean, there's so many questions, right? Obviously, what we save in the bank isn't going to be as generous as what, you know, the other vehicles that are available where you can start saving and building wealth. So, but the beginning of that whole process really starts with gathering those bank statements, listing your debt, writing down your monthly income and spending. And so this is where we get that snapshot, just like that shepherd we talked about, right? Earlier we talked about that shepherd that was knowing the condition of the flock. Well, this shepherd is counting his sheep.
That's correct.
Uno, dos, tres, right? So stewardship begins with just this awareness of what we have.
You just mentioned a key point here, stewardship and awareness. But I would like to hear Sister Marisol here. What do you believe can we do here? What can someone do at this point?
Well, definitely, you know, knowing where we stand makes a big difference, especially the need of the help of the provider. You know, when we know where we stand and his provision, we know what we need and he'll provide it for us. You know, he knows Amen. Exactly where we stand right. and he supplies us for everything, you know, and he gives us the wisdom and he gives us the opportunity to be able to see the, not what we plan, but what he sees. And we just have to trust him in knowing that, you know? Mm. So when we put things in order and you know exactly what you need to do and you have a blueprint of it, right. you change the trajectory of your life in your finances. So definitely that's how we've been trying to put things in order, as you know, because they didn't teach us this when we were little. So, and nobody came to our homes and say, hey, do you know how to save your money? Do you know where to put your money? How to make your money grow?
That is true.
Taught this.
No.
So
yeah.
we have the privilege now as adults to learn, to get the experience of those that have done it, that are continuing doing it, knowing of people that to this day set that bond, that stand.
That's
you
right.
know? If we don't know about, if we know about the Rockefellers, the moment a child is born, they're millionaires because they learn what to do with every person in their family. So why not us? Why not us? You know, we should be the generation that learns that and start teaching it and giving it out to others so that they can be better, so that our next generation can be better.
That's right.
So.
That's good. That's good.
Interesting point.
Hey, Isaac, I'm going to just add just another value point here.
Go ahead, Brother Julius.
Which is, you know, sometimes we pray for, you know, we believe in God for be debt free, right? And we even say we believe in God supernatural debt cancellation. You know what? Most people don't even have a calculated total of how much their debt is. Right. I live here. You know, we live in Houston, and you know, I always imagine one day if I ever run into a Shaquille O'Neal, and he's always at Houston. I hear I've never seen him, but I always see people run into him. And if he was to say, hey, big man, what I'm gonna pay off your debt today. Can you give him? Can you even tell him how much your debt is? Most people don't know.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they haven't taken the very first step.
That is true, Brother Julius. So Sister Wilda here, develop your financial goals. You so far, Rachel, what do you think about this first topic? This has been interesting, right?
It is. And it does take, like Julius was saying, structure, having a structure, and also Absolutely. Having discipline is key. And Awilda, I mean, I see you and I see a person that is disciplined. And not only in finances, but, you know, you have a routine when it comes to physical, getting ready, physical exercise, and you have a routine. And so what exactly, Awilda, when did you come to the awareness or when did it click as far as finances go with you?
Thank you. So something that Marisol said, which resonated with me, is unfortunately they're not teaching us this in school. Sure. They're not teaching our kids. I was actually 42 years old when I learned this information. Now, don't get me wrong. I, you know, knew how to balance a checkbook. I have a pension. I had a 457, which is equivalent to an IRA. But 3 years ago, if you asked me how any of that stuff worked, I would tell you money gets taken out from my paycheck. It goes into that particular account. And I was told I can't touch it till I'm 59 and a half, right? And a lot of it has to do with that financial education. People right. need to understand exactly what is it that they have? How is it gonna work for them? So that's very important. So the second topic that we're gonna talk about, it's actually developing your financial goals.
So interesting.
After figuring out your financial situation, like Julia said, right? Making sure you know what's coming in, what's going out, what are your expenses, then we need to set goals. That's step number two. And be intentional with it. Uh-huh. What exactly are you seeking? Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." So making sure that whatever goals we're setting, it's going to honor God, right? Because everything that we have is because he provides it for us.
That's
so
right.
How can we take whatever we are given and make sure that we're, you know, paying it forward and honoring him?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So a question to you, Wilda, how do we ensure these goals align with God's will?
You know, I would say like the number one main thing for me anyways, and it's with anything in my life, you have to get on your knees and pray.
Amen.
You Amen. you have to ask for clarity. You have to ask for wisdom, ask for knowledge, ask for understanding. But the main goal is you have to pray.
Amen. 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 Yes. And so prayer is key. Matthew 6:33 reminds us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Amen.
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 So Julius.
Wilda, are you implying that we can pray and ask for wisdom concerning our wealth? Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, definitely for clarity, right? Because how many, whether it's NFL players, NBA players, had all these millions of dollars because they signed and unfortunately, due to lack of financial education, are now broke?
That's right.
Right?
True. That is right.
Yeah.
So absolutely, definitely pray for wisdom. Pray, so Lord, how should I,
yes.
You know, how should I manage what you're giving me?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's right.
That is true.
You know, we teach that goals should be specific, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goals should be measurable, and they should be realistic. Yes,
that's,
we can. We can have that God-sized dream and faith, right? And so we can still have goals and have faith at the same time, right? But mm-hmm. our goals should be specific. They should
Absolutely.
Be measurable. Right. They should be realistic.
Absolutely. Whether it's, you know, you're going to set a goal to pay off your debt, or you're going to set a goal to start saving for, God forbid, an emergency happens. But whatever it is, you have to stick to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me ask this.
So even that goal should have a date on it, right?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. So you set yourself some goals and then you set markers, right? Yeah. There's two difference between a goal and a marker, but absolutely, whether it's, all right, I owe $500 in this credit card, you know what? I'm going to faithfully put an extra $100 a month towards it. And therefore, depending on the interest, obviously, right? Within 6 to 7 months, that debt will be paid off.
Amen.
But I would like to ask now, Marisol, how can we identify, because this has been key points so far, but I want to go deeper and at this point, identifying alternative courses of action. So far, Wilda and Julius have mentioned key points here on how to assess regarding a debt, how to proceed with this. But I would like to see or hear from Marisol alternative courses of action. How can we identify these courses of action, Marisol?
Thank you, Isaac. Yeah, well, definitely. Everything she said was on point.
Yes.
The third step, identify the alternative course, right? The action that you take. Life isn't a one-size-fits-all, of course. You know, we get into those, this thought that, oh no, it has to be this way. But definitely God sets you up in a certain way that there's ways and options that you have, different ways that you can save your money, how to pay your debts, to invest your money, you know? And, you know, you learn these things, you know, because we're in the financial realm, we figure out, yeah, there's certain vehicles that give you the best percentage, the best cash value, the best amount for your money, 10 times more. And we learn these vehicles that work so much better than probably the 401k and the IRA. Then you're like, okay, so why is this not being taught? Why is that being said to anyone that you have another way to receive more money, you know? So one thing that we know that the word always tells us in Proverbs 15:22, it says that plan fails for the lack of counsel, right? But with many advisors, they succeed. So that means that you sit down with somebody that has that knowledge, hey, teach me this, because in teaching me these steps, I can excel. I can move forward. I can expand my mind and know exactly what I need to do so that I can be the next millionaire in my family.
That's right.
Because I declare we will. My family is going to be the first millionaires in my family.
And amen. True.
Move towards that so that we can be able to focus on our goals, set the plans, see what it is that's going to get us there.
That's right.
Because what are you doing to get there? Because if you say it, they tell you, they teach you, and you do nothing, there's no way in this world that you're going to get there. It's by doing the action of it.
That's right.
What do I have to do? What do I have to do? And where do I put my money that it's going to grow quick enough or at the time that I need to? Because, you know, the United States have us as the date of retirement should be at 65, but you could retire whenever. If you make it your plan that I'm going to retire at a certain date, then you set the amount that you want to that time.
Powerful.
That's right.
And you can do it. You can do it. If you know that that plan is going to lead you before that, I don't have to retire at that time. You make that choice. That's the action you're going to take. So,
yes.
If you don't put the action, you can't get to where you want to be.
So, Marisol, I love that you said that, and I'm actually going to add something to it. We have a saying in our company, and it's faith plus hustle equals freedom, right? Man. Just because we have the faith, God still wants us to put in the work.
Amen.
Correct. Right? If I'm just sitting in my house doing absolutely nothing, praying, Lord, I want money, I want this, but I'm not doing the action to act that is going to bring income, then I'm missing a portion there, right? So both of them have to align. So I love that.
I want to ask a question, and Isaac and Will, you guys can, you know, I see over time, so many times, we sit down with people and they've done something with their money or whatever. And they're like, oh, I didn't know. Right. I didn't know. And, you know, I took all my money out of my 401k when I left the job, and I transferred it to my bank account, and I got paid all these penalties and these fees. I didn't know. Right. And so, you know, of course we know the Bible talks about, you know, we perish for lack of knowledge, right? Yeah, but I like the scripture that Marisol brought up in Proverbs that talk about plans fail for lack of counsel, right?
That is true.
You know, but with many advisors, they succeed. You know, I think about the fact that, you know, if if my house was flooding because some pipes burst, I'm not calling my Uncle Joe. Yes, he knows how to, he can do some patch up work, but I'm gonna call a certified plumber. All right.
An expert, correct.
My electrical outlet starts shooting out fire, I'm not calling my boy from down the road, all right, because I know he's a freelancer. No, I'm calling a certified electrician. And many times the house is burning down. I'm speaking figuratively. The financial house is on fire, and we're calling a relative who has, hey, what would you do, Auntie Lucy? What would you do, right? And so my point is that we talked about having those trusted or those people that are trained, those people that are understand the things that we weren't taught in school, right?
And I agree.
Talking in school, so. I just want to throw that back out there. I know Awilda does financial advising, and we do the same thing. And so it's part of what a person does when they're super, super serious.
That's right.
About not repeating the same failures, right?
Absolutely. Like the cycle has to break somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's just like you said, Russell, right? You said your family will be a millionaire. It takes one person in the family to, number one, have faith, but also put in the work and say, you know what? It ends with me. It stops here. I will change the generation of my family.
Amen. I would like to interject. I remember a conversation that I had with the world on Wednesday, and she gave, she put to my awareness the amount of people that do GoFundMe when there's an issue, like when somebody, I'll have her share what she shared with me, and I was like, it was an eye opener. Go ahead.
So, I would definitely say do not go down that rabbit hole, but unfortunately, I did, and the reason why it was because I normally don't go on Facebook. I'll kind of see if I have any notifications. I'll scroll pretty quickly, but that was about it. That particular day, I had came across three different GoFundMes. One of them, it was a 25-year-old female who had just had brain surgery, and they were doing the GoFundMe for additional treatments that she's going to need. And I was talking to Raquel because I was like, you know, that is what actually drove me to get my license, to get educated, and to get into the industry. Because there are solutions out there that you don't need a GoFundMe.
Correct.
Like, you can actually pull money from a lot of these products to be able to utilize it while you're still living. So I told her that I did go on Google, and I said approximately how many people start a GoFundMe, and the answer gave me, it was that in 2024, approximately 2 million first timers.
Wow.
Oh my God, wow.
Started a GoFundMe, which means, Julius, if 2024, you're on GoFundMe number two, you don't count towards that statistic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wow.
That was very eye-opening to me on how this financial education needs to be across and like taught throughout the whole U.S.
Exactly. Because,
like I said earlier, they're not teaching it in school. They're not teaching it to our kids.
Yeah.
But also,
we are the generation that have to do that.
Right.
And yeah, absolutely.
We have to. So that's the passion and the mission that we have. Especially what we receive is so that we can be able to change somebody else's life. We have
absolutely
how people think about money and where they're gonna put it.
That's
and
right.
If we can show them how to change the way they think about money, they won't save it in the bank. They won't grow it in the bank. The bank is just to pay your bills.
That's absolutely
not saving. That's not for growing. But when they get that knowledge, it's like, where can I put it? And then we explain that and we break it down. Then they have this understanding. It's like, oh, okay. This is a better vehicle. Yeah. God forbid something happens. Yes. There are things in place that give you that, provide you for those services.
That's
so
right.
Definitely,
Yeah.
But you have touched. I'm sorry. Go ahead and one thing.
So yes, it also goes back to like what I had said earlier, like it takes that one person. You know, I can speak for myself and me growing up, we were not allowed to talk about money in our home. Mm-hmm. Whether we had money or didn't have money, we just were not allowed to talk about it.
That's right.
So that also comes into play too, as far as, you know, the community that you're in. Culture. You know, a lot of people think everything is a scam, right? I grew up in a very inner city in, you know, in New Jersey. If, you know, if you're trying to help me, you're trying to scam me some way or another.
Exactly.
Right?
It's illegal.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you get the, well, you know, that sounds too good to be true. And if this is real, why is this the first time I'm hearing it?
That's right.
Well, is this the first time you're hearing about it? Or is this the first time that you're actually sitting down with someone that knows their finances and they're explaining to you and teaching you about it? Exactly. So that's a big difference there.
Amen. You have both brought to the plate here very interesting points. And I would like Brother Julius here to tell us about those points, the alternatives. How can we evaluate alternatives, Brother Julius? Because she mentioned here different programs that we maybe haven't heard before. We can consider them scams. Marisol talked about the education that we received. So at this point, what alternatives? How can we evaluate these points, Brother Julius? I would like to hear that from you.
Thank you, Isaac. You know, as I'm listening to these ladies who are just, you know, hitting all the points and just changing the way that we thought or that we think, you know.
Yes, yes.
I think about this, and I've said this in presentations, speaking to churches or speaking to organizations, you know, most of us weren't born wealthy. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about it, right?
Sure.
And I say this, if you weren't born wealthy, that's not your fault. But if your grandchildren die broke, that's all your fault.
Amen.
You know why?
Whoa.
You know why? Amen. I know y'all may not have me back on the show again, but let me tell you why.
No, this is profound truth. This is the truth.
Listen, here's, you know, and let's talk about life insurance. All right. And let's get it out in the open. You know, life insurance will solve the whole GoFundMe situation. Right. Hmm. And another added layer to that GoFundMe situation is that the majority of those people that form or start GoFundMes, it's for the unexpected funeral. Or the unexpected sickness, right?
That's correct.
And so, so I have this philosophy. We're all gonna die one day. Everybody agree?
Amen.
All hands up. We're gonna die one day.
That's one thing that's guaranteed for everyone.
Guaranteed. Right? They say it at every funeral, it's appointed to every man wants to die, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what I say is that knowing that you're going to die one day, don't just go into the ground. We're going to go 6 feet under, but go in as a seed, right?
Mm. And that's good.
If your body is a seed that's being going into the ground, well, the harvest is the life insurance policy you left behind. It may be that you're leaving your children or your grandchildren, you know, it may be that you're leaving them 100,000, 500,000, a million, $2 million. Do you know that you could leave your family wealthy? Better than you entered the world. All right. So let's go a little deeper. All right. So
wait, Brother Julius. Uh-huh. So you're telling me that if you didn't come from a wealthy family should come from you.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Ooh. Right. That's good. That's okay. Good.
That's on fire. Love it.
Absolutely. And listen, if you didn't create wealth because you did all your investments right. At least, and I tell some of the, you know, hey, listen, I'm talking to that parent, that you know, 65-year-old. Hey, you got four children? Get your children together. Say, look, mama not gonna be here forever. Y'all get together and y'all pay for a policy. Y'all split it up. And when I pass on, because I'm gonna go on to be with the Lord, y'all can have some money. Why don't y'all get together and get $1 million policy? Y'all split the cost, and when I pass on, y'all gonna each get $250,000. I'm dropping nuggets right now.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
It's appointed to every man wants to die. All right. So
that's
listen.
Right.
So alternatives. Evaluating. So I just gave you one alternative right there. All right. Life insurance. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Life insurance.
All right. And I can tell you that a welder specializes in it, and so do we. Okay. So step four is evaluating the alternatives. Once you've listed your options, weigh the benefits and the risk. All right. There's a scripture in Luke 14:28. If you put that on the screen. Luke 14:28, it says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Now we're gonna talk about counting up the costs, all right? All right, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Some of y'all wanna build a home one day, so pay attention. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? How many of y'all ever seen houses or projects that never got completed? You know why it never got completed? It's because somebody didn't count up the cost first.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even get all your permits with the city. Oh, those cost money, don't they? Right? You got to count up the costs, all right? And it says calculate the costs, potential returns, and the risk. Calculate the costs, potential returns, and the risk.
That's right.
All right? Does one choice align better with biblical values? All right? So, for example, if you're deciding whether to buy something on credit or save, I'm on your street right now. Mm. Do I buy it on credit or save? All right. Think about the impact on your finances and your ability to give. Now, watch this one other thing here. Going back, do I buy it on credit? Because I can't wait. I want it right now. We live in a microwave society. When do we want it? Right now.
Now,
when am yes. yesterday,
right now, when I'm gonna get my blessing, right now, hey,
yes.
that's right.
Sometimes that wasn't expedient, you got it on credit, and guess what? It wasn't beneficial for you right now, all right? Because, first of all, your credit wasn't good, they jacked you on the interest rate. Man, this is a whole nother podcast. I'm so
I was just about to say we can definitely have a whole nother podcast.
Part two.
Alone because I have adult children. And the minute they turn 18 years old, the first thing they started receiving in the mail was credit card applications.
Oh my
God. But yes, that can definitely be another podcast.
Remember in college, right? In college, you can get credit cards. You say, "Well, I don't have a job." Oh, that's okay. You just have to be enrolled in school, right? Mm. So wait, let me go back. So whether do I get this on credit or do I save up for it so that I can buy it cash? But since we're talking about alternatives, all right? Since we're talking about alternatives, Isaac, think about this.
Go ahead.
Another alternative, since we're here. Did you know that some people build up their cash value in types of strategies like cash value life insurance? I'm going to talk about it since I'm licensed, right? So it means that I literally could save and build up wealth. And when I'm ready to buy that car, they don't have to run my credit. I didn't go into my bank account and pull out cash. I actually borrowed from myself. I borrowed a life insurance policy cash value. And guess what? They even have types of alternatives or programs, since I'm talking about knowing the alternatives, where I could actually make that purchase, or let's say better yet, Awilda, I'm actually going to pull out enough money because I want to invest in I want to flip a property, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Anybody in the real estate, you want to own some properties, you want to flip them, all right?
That is correct.
What if I can pull the money out of my cash value life insurance because I've been building it up? And while that money is over here to go make more money, right? We're looking to make our money make money. What if the money was still earning interest inside the account that you pulled it from? Wait a minute, Julius. Ooh. Are you trying to say I can have my cake and eat it too? That's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that they have strategies and concepts in place where you can borrow from yourself, use it to flip it, use it to make more money. But the money, we never interrupted the compounding process of our interest. So that means that your entire account was still earning interest as if you had never taken a loan.
Even touched it. Wow.
Oh.
Whoa. Amazing, 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 Brother Julius.
It's not being taught.
Nope.
No, no, absolutely not. None of these key points that you have mentioned here, they don't teach this, not even in school. And many families ignore the value of the counseling of how to handle money, how to use money as a tool.
That's right.
To create wealth for you and your family. They don't teach this.
Yes.
And yet we just get the paycheck and use it immediately. Get the paycheck and use it immediately. And there's so many key points here and alternatives to create that wealth, to create that compounding. And as Brother Julius, Sister Wilda, and Sister Marisol have mentioned, there are different ways, the knowledge, the key points on how to administer and create that wealth and keep that wealth.
Yes.
For us and for future generations. What do you think about this, Rachel?
I mean, I remember hearing stocks and bonds and just hearing that was only for the wealthy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember hearing stocks and bonds, and it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. It wasn't something that I would even look to invest in. So now is when I come to terms with being aware of, oh my God, there are other alternatives out there, or being aware that I too am able to invest in stocks and bonds, you know. Unfortunately, you know, after, you know, growing, that's when you get the aha moment, like, oh my God, you know, and it's
adulting.
The adulting, but I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, because a lot of the wealthy know about this, but you know,
you're right, Raquel, because it's, you know, we start working and, you know, HR comes in and they give us this paper and say, hey, this is what you can contribute to your 401k. We're going to take it out of your account, you know, every other pay or, you know, however you get paid. And that's it.
Yep.
Like that's as far as that knowledge go. Now, having said that, I'm not blaming HR because maybe they don't know. Maybe that's all the information they know.
Yes.
So again, it just goes to show if the information is not being given to you, as an adult, you have to find it for yourself, right? I believe it was Julius that said it earlier. You can blame your parents for living in a certain in a certain area when you were young. Once you become an adult, you can't blame your parents anymore.
You are
an adult. It is your responsibility, if you don't like where you are, to push yourself to that next level.
Correct. I agree with these points. And I love a point that Brother Julius mentioned, to your point, Awilda. You can borrow from yourself. They don't teach this. You don't know how to manage this. You don't know how to create this point. So coming back to you, Awilda, point number five, I would like to know, how can you create and implement a financial action plan? Because we already spoke about education. We already spoke about assessing your point, your financial stability here, different alternatives. Brother Julius mentioned here how to borrow from yourself. But hey, how can we create this action plan? How can we focus on this?
Right. And I love that. And I'm actually going to start with James 2:17. And it says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And it kind of goes back, and I'm going to circle back to what I said earlier.
Yes.
We have a shirt that it says faith plus hustle equals freedom.
Boom.
That's it right there, right? So once you've prayed over it, you know, you saw counsel with someone, you've evaluated your options, and trust me, you will have options, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for you to really sit down and put a plan together.
That's right.
And just like I said earlier, you have to have a timeline for it. So I always say you have to pay yourself first. Even if it's $5 every time you get paid, you have to pay yourself first. You are starting to build a habit, right? Mm-hmm. Of paying yourself first, whether it's putting it towards your savings account to start building up an emergency fund. Or maybe you want to, you know, add an additional $100 towards that debt or whatever the case may be. But you have to have a plan and you have to stick to it.
Yeah, I know,
agree.
I know there's a structure. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but maybe you guys can clarify or remind me, but there's a structure, like there's a certain amount towards certain things that you put. Yeah. For instance, it includes the tithing, and then there's personal money that you put aside for personal things. And I don't know if any of you can help me out with how that works.
Yeah, I can start, and then Julius and Marisol, you can definitely add to it. So everyone's financial situation is different, right? So everybody, mm-hmm. it's going to look different. Everybody's financial goal is different. I'm pretty sure if we were to go around the panel here, we're not going to have the same financial goals, meaning as far as, you know, what we want 5 years from now to look like compared to what we want 10 years from now to look like, mm-hmm. right? So sitting down, writing, you know, like Julia said earlier, putting down all your debts and breaking everything down. What's to the point, like monthly subscriptions, which he said, he mentioned, you know, the eyelashes and stuff like that. So I thought it was funny because my guilty pleasure is actually getting my nails done. So I thought that was funny. But, you know, obviously you can do it yourself. But are you going to understand what you're looking at, right? I know we do a what's called a financial checkup, where we mm-hmm. do break everything down, right? What's coming in? What's going out? What type of emergency funds do we have? What type of retirement accounts do we have? How old do you want to be when you retire? What does that look like to you? Mm-hmm. And then it gives us a numerical story of what that actually will look like and approximately what your financial independent number has to be around that time, that frame, so you are able to retire the way you want to.
Okay, so I want to go, Wilda, I would like to know this point here. Brother Julius mentioned earlier, you can have your cake and eat it as well, but there's a point here. If you're scared, because some people are scared to take these steps, I would like to have my cake and eat it as well, but I'm scared. What or how can we take this first step?
Good question.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Isaac. I am going to have my cake and eat it too.
Ooh.
Just like Julia said, and it's because we have to trust in God, right?
Amen.
And we have to trust in his courage. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Right?
Ooh. So, amen.
I think a lot of us feel that we have to start big, right? Mm-hmm. That the only way we're going to accomplish something is by starting big. But guess what? If you take a little snowball and you roll it down, you know, Everest, Mount Everest or something, the longer it's rolling, the bigger it's going to get, right?
Correct.
I say that to say, you know, give yourself some grace, start small, stay faithful, and God blesses wise actions.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, amen.
Hey, Isaac, can I just jump in here?
Yes.
I feel like, absolutely.
I feel like, you know, absolutely. You remember the wrestling back in the days of wrestling that other person on the tag team, right?
Yeah.
Wilda, can I tag team? Can I come in?
Yes.
Go ahead, Julius. Go ahead.
Hey, actually, you know what? That word, where it says, what if you're a little scared, right? Mm. What if you're scared? Hey, you know what? There's a story. Matter of fact, would you put that slide up? Remember the story where the parable of the talents, right? Right?
Correct.
Where one got five talents, mm-hmm. right? The master was going away, right? And,
yes,
and one
yes.
got two, right? Uh-huh. And the other one got one, right? And the one that had five, they, you know, went and invested in some crypto, went and started a taco truck, went and got some IRA and doubled it, right? Master, look, you gave me five, I got five. And then the one that got two, Jamal took his two, right? He went and got some cash value life insurance, right? He went and set up an IRA, went and set up a high yield savings account. And he said, look, you gave me two, I got two more beside it, right? And then Tasha was scared. Mm-hmm. She said, Lord, I knew you to be a rough man. I knew you to be a you know, you, you, your, you know, the wording was, I knew you to be the way you deal with us, right? And so anyway, what did she do? She hid it. Why did she hide it? Because she was scared, right?
Correct.
And so, and look, scared money don't make no money.
That's right.
Amen.
That's true.
Scared money don't make no money. And my favorite part about this, is that the two that took the money and did something with it, who were courageous, who trusted in the Lord, right? Who were faithful. They actually, when the master came back, the master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," right? He told Chloe, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Yeah. Jamal, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But Tasha, he actually called her out of her name. He said, "You wicked." Her name is Tasha in my example, right?
Yes.
"You wicked." Wow. "You wicked and lazy servant." That's not her name. Her name was Tasha.
That's
"You
right.
wicked and lazy servant. Cast," and then he said, "cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth." Wait a minute. Is this sounding like kingdom? Is this like the difference between hell and hell? Heaven and hell, excuse me. This is pretty right. serious.
That's right.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Y'all know precious Jesus, sweet Jesus. No, this is the Jesus that was turning tables over in the tabernacle, right?
Right.
He was a little Agreed. Upset about this. "You took my money and you did what? Tasha, get out of here." Right?
Yes.
So don't be scared, be courageous, right? Trust in the Lord who strengthens, who gives us strength.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, this reminds me of just the Jewish people. They don't fear in investing. And it's because they know who they are. They know where they come from and they know who they are. And it has a lot to do with how, I mean, there is no difference between us and them. It's just they know who they are and they walk in that. And they
yes.
trust the process. And you see that they have a lot of investments. And it's, like I said, it's not because they are better than us. We are the same, but they just more confident in who they are and who they trust. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That is true.
Correct.
That is true. Marisol, I have point number 6 for you. You've been too quiet. And I'm going to start asking here.
You know, because I have had this. on key, so Woo. You know he's been dropping nuggets here. And
yeah,
there.
Oh yeah,
he definitely is.
Hey, but let me tell you this: the three of you are on fire.
Yes,
and we're learning a lot about financial points here.
Yes,
but this one is for you: review and revise the financial plan.
Mm.
We already know alternatives. We already seen other points, education. But now, how can we review and revise our financial plan? How can we do this? Can you please help us here, Marisol?
Now, step 6 is reviewing what we have, right? Ooh. The plan, your strategies, the chances you get, the new job, the unexpected expenses, the opportunity that you get, right? So I'm gonna get into what the word says first, and now in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says,
mm-hmm.
"Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." So listening Ooh. To that, it's like, okay, so if I give you little, how much of that you're going to turn it into something greater, you know?
Wow. Wow. Like,
do you believe that if you plant a seed, it's going to multiply 10 times greater, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what God tells me.
Yes.
You know, I have my chain is the mustard seed, and the mustard seed multiplies and grows to this big old tree, right? Because it gives so much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we believe that God is blesses us when we take care of the little that he gives us, because we know how to multiply to get it greater, right?
That's right.
So we check what we have in our monthly, and what comes in monthly, quarterly, you know, we ask, Lord, how do I set myself so that mm-hmm. everything I work for can multiply, so that everything that I touch, my God, you said that it will be blessed and highly favored. What do I do? How can I change that? What needs to change in my life, in my walk, and what I've known,
that is right.
so that I'm able to be
that is true.
blessed so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Inviting God in that midst, you know, it atmosphere. It changes the purpose and where we're going. It changes where we stand. It changes, my God, where we go into everything. Amen. Everything it changes.
Amen.
So he starts setting us up, and we become that steward. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Amen.
We are part of a kingdom that he sets things in order for us. We might be not in all the knowledge or wisdom that we want to, but he's, before you know it, you have everything exactly how it should be.
That's right.
And it's just walking in trusting him. So when that happens, you're like, okay, Lord, I know you got me.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
That's why I pray, because I know that you have it already set up. You know?
Amen.
Amen.
So Maricel, what you're saying is, like a gardener, we tend and prune, not just plant once and leave it. Is that what you're saying here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, they expect that if they treat it, they fertilize it, they water it, they make sure that it's taken care of. When they come back, they see gigantic
Amen.
Of their forest. Of what they planted, because they took care of it. Little by little, they made sure that the weeds were out, that they're not being choked. You know, that's the nurture. We have to make sure that the people around are edifying us, that are lifting us, that are
Amen.
Us forward, not bringing us down, that we can be able to pull somebody else up with us at the
Correct.
Same time.
We're not here Amen.
To, we're supposed to build each other up
Amen.
And pull each other. Hey, let me teach you this. Oh, come with me. This is what I learned. Listen, this is a little bit better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you, if I love you and you're in part of my family, and I'm saying as a family in Christ, of course, we look out for our each other in that matter. You know, we
right.
become this big old family. Yeah, I want my brothers and sisters to excel the same way that I excel.
That's right.
That I've learned. I don't want nobody behind. You know, one of the things that is no family left behind. That's one
yes.
of our. So if I'm not being left behind, I'm not going to leave no one else behind.
Good.
So
yes.
my
yes.
mission and my passion, hey, do you have a few minutes so that we can talk, 30 minutes so that you can see what I'm doing and maybe I can change your life or change something that can propel you to be better financially? Yes. Sure. Who's going to tell you no? You know? Because what you're going to receive, the value that you give them, is going to be so much greater. That's like, I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know either. And that's why I want to take that time to sit down with you, let you know what is available to us and tangible. It's not for just the rich and the wealthy. It's available to all of us. And if we
Amen.
Take that notion, it's like, yeah, you see rich people having money, but you can have it as well.
Right.
And that change. The mindset has to change.
Power Agree.
Has to change. Because if we don't change our mind and change our mindset, nothing changes.
That's correct. Amen.
Agree.
Amen.
Agree. Amen to that. So let us briefly recap here, because it's been six delicious points regarding finances. The first one was how to determine our current financial situation. Develop your financial goals. Identify alternative courses of action. Evaluate alternatives. I love that. I want my cake, and I'm having my cake, and I'm going to eat
That's
it.
That's right.
Create and implement your plan. And review and revise your plan. So, Rachel, what about if we take this here and we start bombarding these people with fine questions, because they are experts here, right?
That's
so
right.
So let's do this, Rachel. What do you think about this?
It's time to open the floor for questions. Now, how have you experienced God's faithfulness in your finances through stewardship? Oof. And that question goes to Mr. Anderson.
All right. Thank you. Well, definitely just understanding concepts, and also even teaching concepts, right, about money and faithfulness and stewardship. And, you know, even Awilda talked about, you know, before you pay, before you pay Reliant Energy, or before mm-hmm. you pay Texas energy, you need to pay Julius, you need to pay yourself, right? And so starting to build up, you know, having money, having even an emergency plan. You know, I remember two summers ago, my wife and I, our air condition broke, and we live in Houston in Texas. So, you know, now let me just tell you this. If I didn't have emergency funds, I would have been mad at God. Okay? Because I live in Texas and it's hot. And so, but because we had emergency funds, we were only two days without an air conditioner. We got a new unit. Paid a guy, came in and put in a brand new unit. So what would have been an emergency, it was more so a mere inconvenience.
Right. Mm. That's good.
And one of the first plans, one of the first steps in building, you know, building wealth is you got to have an emergency fund, mm-hmm. right? And I know this because I teach this. And part of that emergency fund is being able to have, you know, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses set aside in savings, right? So that when man, trials come, all right, when
and trials they will.
And tribulations come,
yes.
you could handle the little bit. You can handle this stuff, right? And it's not an emergency. Now, if I spend a month without air condition in the summer, I'd be an angry person. I just would. So that's part of it. That's one of the things I would say, you know, came out of what, you know, the planning and what we know about money.
Okay. Same question to, how have you experienced God's faithfulness in your finances through stewardship?
So I'm going to actually start just like Julia started, the financial concepts that I have learned. And the fact that I was able to also pass down that financial education to my children. And, you know, I just recently became a grandma. And you best to believe it, my grandbaby is set for whatever he wants to do in life, whether he wants to go to college, buy a car in cash, have a nice down payment for his house. But if it wasn't because I had this, you know, financial education that yes. unfortunately a lot of people don't have, I don't think I would be able to do this, right? And I'll say, you know, real quick, I'm retired. And it's funny how Marisol said, there is no age in retirement. And she is 100% correct. There isn't. I retired when I was 42 years old. Now, having said that, there's no way that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom at 42 because I'm super active. And I knew there were other options out there when it came to how can I take what God already gave me. And just how Julia shared that story about, you know, the servants with, you know, the talents. And now what can I do to make sure that I am multiplying it for those generations that come after me?
Amen. Amen. Sister Marisol, the same question will go for you. Go ahead. I would like to hear your point. We already heard Brother Julius, Awilda, but I want to hear this, the same question. How have you experienced God's faithfulness through stewardship in your finances?
Well, I can say that he has taught me how to save my money because mm-hmm. I wasn't taught that. He taught me how to create it and where to put it so that I can have it multiply. So having the knowledge that we have received through being taught, getting our license and being in the financial sector allows us to see that there's a way to steward your money in a certain way, how much you need to save, how much do you need to have. And he has allowed me to see, hey, if I don't have this amount, I can't think about what's next. So you have to learn how to have discipline. You have to learn how to have determination in what you get and what you have, because otherwise you lose it. You lose the ability to know, hey, how am I using my money? How am I using my money so that I can be able to have what I need. So that is all about applying it. You know, knowledge is power, but only when you apply it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It does nothing to have it if you don't apply it. So
amen.
I thank God for every day that He's teaching us exactly what we need to do, and we go ahead and apply it.
Amen. Amen. And overall, I would like to throw this out for the people listening on this podcast right now and the people who will listen to this in a different time. Remember, financial planning is not just about money. It's about honoring God with what He has entrusted us. Remember, all the riches come from God. We apply them. We have the knowledge. These people here have shared their tips. They have given us more than enough nuggets to start ramping up. However, we honor God with what He has entrusted us, which is our salvation, our resources, and our finances. Right, Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You're mute, Rachel. Technical difficulty.
I'm sorry. yes, I agree. This has been a knowledge, like a download of so much knowledge. Not only are we speaking to the viewers, I'm learning from this, you know, because I need to get my life, my financial life together. It's not, we are coming to a close, and I want to thank each and every one of you in participating in sharing and your knowledge and just bringing that awareness to us. Because a lot of the times, this is a topic that many people don't like to talk about, the money issue, you know, the money. Especially if you're struggling with money, that's something that many don't like to talk about. They like to feel money, have the money like in their hands, and with that they feel secure with having the money in their pockets or in their purses. But they forget that investing is what stays in the long run, you know, how you grow your money. So with that said, I would like to close in prayer, thanking all of our viewers for tuning in. Again, we are a podcast that we share awareness, we educate, especially in the Lord, in what the scripture says. So everything we do, we try to align it with the word of God. So I thank all of my viewers. Please continue to tune in. Please continue to support us. Like, comment, all the things, notifications, and share. Above all, share this transmission to others. So, Father God, we come before you thanking you for this episode. Thanking you, my God, for allowing these beautiful people to share their knowledge with us, my God. Allow us to, you know, have that discernment and that wisdom to know how to invest our money, to know how to invest not only in the kingdom of God, but also like invest and just structure and discipline where we put our money. Lord Jesus, help us to be better, not only spiritually, but also in the secular realm, my God. Help us, my God. We want to be better citizens on this earth and citizens for others in the spiritual realm as well. We thank you and we honor you. We glorify you above all. We thank you for allowing this opportunity. And I know this is not the last opportunity. We just ask, Lord Jesus, that you just help us through our daily walk in being better people and help us to manage our money. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being with us. And we will be back at the same time next week in Profound Truth, delivering the truth of God and His Word. Thank you for joining us. And till the next time. Bye-bye.
Take care. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.